You're stuck in that position for a long time thinking, maybe I'll do this for some time and then I'll earn enough, then I'll give it a shot. No, your shot was when you had it in your head. Your shot was then. The fear of failure is one thing that stops all of them. Maybe my situation and my circumstances were the things that put me through MCing, but my first event was not good. My second was worst. My third didn't go well. My fourth client wasn't happy. My fifth was not bad. Imagine if I stopped at fifth. Imagine if I said it's not my cup of tea, I would not be here, or I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be here. It was my 9th or 10th event is when I felt that I am doing good. I can be proud of what I'm doing and I can be confident in whatever it is. Giving up can never be an option.
Lizza Tarana is an MC, host, and a true influencer of Instagram. Her content that's both inspiring and relatable is something that's been trending on Instagram in the recent days. And there's a good chance that you might have come across her face or her posts or her videos on your feed, where she's actually been given a title, Didi with an iPhone. This conversation is a super interesting one and is sure to get you moving. We talk about her journey and the challenges and struggles that she faced at various junctures in her life. We talk about how one needs to be bold and confident to break barriers and beliefs that society might have. And also how being part of a corporate job can really get you to pursue your passion. You heard that right. Being part of a desk job can really help you pursue your dreams or passion. So stick around for that and so much more as part of this conversation. Yeah, so let's get right into the episode then. This is episode 27 with Lizza Tarana. I have so many things I want to talk to you about, from family life to societal pressure to education in general itself, women empowerment, social media, which I've been just, you know, talking so much about. But for people who don't know you, what are you best known for? How would you describe yourself?
I would really love myself to be called as MC Lizza Tarana, and that is all I want. But then I think right now it's Didi who shows off her iPhone. I like that tag though.
How do you get this Didi tag? It's like a very... I'm wondering, where did that come from?
And thanks to... I love the amount of efforts people put into Comment Down. Because, again, I make content out of it as well. Mm-hmm. And it was them who started with... Are Didi to iPhone dikha rahi hai. Bina iPhone dikhaye to iske videos bante hai nahi. Aina to dekh nahi rahi hai. Sirf iPhone mein hi dekhna hai. Are you sticking something on your phone and reading from it? You know, Didi ka to fake accent hai. So every... insult or every hate that they would put would start up with Didi. So Didi itself is an insult according to them. So I was like, okay.
Yeah,
so
my bio went like, it.
Yeah, I'm Didi who shows off her iPhone.
Yeah.
Nice. What are you going to do about it? Tell me, it's my iPhone. I will show it.
Yeah, and I'm the Didi. Yeah. I can do what I want. You're not the elder one here. It's me. Come on. Yeah.
So that's tough. But then I'm still the MC Lizza Tarana.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. And if you remember, I reached out to you specifically for that. It's for, you know, forget about Instagram, forget about all of these other things, which I think now is obviously taking up a lot of your time. And of course, we will get down to that as well. But more importantly, what I want to know is, how can an MC make it? That's one thing. A host or someone in that space make it. And it's only when we started talking is when you realize there's just so much more we can talk about, right? There's just so much more. And that's where I think today's conversation is going to be a long one. There's no denying it. Like I said, it's probably even going to be part of a two-part series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You're welcome. No, but if you could just walk us through what your upbringing's been like, because I think family life plays a very important role in not just your career, but also the kind of person you know end up being. I think a lot of people nowadays, especially who don't look inward or don't understand where where they're either lashing out from or how, why they're behaving in a particular way is all because of things that might have happened in the childhood.
Yeah.
Right? So if you could just walk us through maybe quickly and briefly around that.
When you just told me this, I remember we were taking the workshop, me and my partner. She is a psychologist. Like, she's doing her course in that. She's finishing up. She's doing her internship. And the reason we partnered up together is because she is somebody who's into, you know, public speaking. She is a speaker altogether. She does elocutions, she does debates and all of it. On the other side, where as much as public speaking skills are required there, is in my case, it's emceeing. So, you know, there's a whole different level of, how do I say, engagement, the qualities that we use from public speaking in both the platforms. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing the workshop, I wanted the students to have both the blend to know that what is it that they are looking forward to and what is it that they can take from it. And yesterday is one of my students went like, you know, this is what I feel. I feel humiliation. I am from USA. People from USA do not tease me for the language I speak. However, the Indians who are in USA tease me for the accent that I have or the language that I speak because I'm not fluent in it. And she's
not fluent in the accent.
Accent as well as language. She stumbles and mumbles when she talks. And I remember my friend going out and she said, you know, it's during the, when you're adult is when you feel this way, when you're kids you don't feel. And then she corrected that. It's not that you're adult and you feel this way. It's because you've gone through, you've been humiliated or you've been put through in your childhood to an extent that you're still not able to let go of at this age, or this, that you feel triggered when things go right or wrong. Yeah, that is about that part. But let's dive into the family background. I am from Coorg. Very beautiful place. Beautiful location. It's a nice, cozy area with coffee estates and paddy fields and beautiful people there. And
don't we all know it? I mean, that's like the easiest place for us to run away from Bangalore. Yeah.
So I think the reason I'm not really fond of Nandi Hills is because Coorg is far more, much better than that place.
Nandi Hills is just Nandi Hills.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the same time, what happened was... we were sent to the convent school, a proper convent school. We were the first three girls to be sent to the school.
You went to a convent school? Yes. I had no idea. Okay.
That was on a whole different level. You sneeze, please think of Jesus.
Yeah.
They were at a time, I looked at my sister and I went like, where is Jesus?
Yeah.
I have issues right now. Show me Jesus right away. Okay. It was crazy on a whole different level too. You know, I had such tiny, my hair was just this length and they would ask you to fold your plates also. I'm like, wait, why? Why? And I was made a discipline leader because I was not disciplined. So it was so crazy because they would be like, okay, this girl is not disciplined at all. But trust me, to the version I was back then, I'm pretty sure even them, they wouldn't have expected me to be this now. They wouldn't have done that. I remember we had people there. We didn't really make a lot of friends, but I wouldn't talk in any other language but English. And I had some Malayali friends, some Coorgi friends. Coorgi friends in the sense of the people who speak Coorgi, and they're like Kodavas of that, descendants of that place. And then I had some people who'd speak Kannada and all of it. But then we were sent to a good school. And what happened here was her sister sent these kids to the boy to the convent, the girl to a madrasa school.
Okay.
So she learned. So her entire agenda is...
When you say my mother's sister.
Right. So her entire agenda was, anyway, she's going to get married. And her education on Islam is what is much more required than anything. This girl is smart. When I say smart, she's so good at everything. And she wanted to join the convent so bad, but she wouldn't allow. My grandmother would say, they'll be like these three girls. Do you want them to be like these three girls? They wouldn't say it to my mother. I know that's what
implied.
They say. Yeah. And that's how it was. So my mom, kind of deep down, I kind of feel that's what she feels. But then she's also happy about the way we brought up. So with that, just a sudden push for us to wear dupattas or to follow that was not really something that we knew how to take. Even though we didn't have a pressure for it when we went to school, I think a sudden push to it was not something we were expecting. We would wear it to college. And we would take it off when we had to, because we had to take it off. But it was different. When we go to weddings, we don't wear dupattas. And when we are having our functions in college, we don't wear dupattas. We let our hair free. I didn't really understand the entire concept. And that's when I realized that you take the religion as to how you want it to be taken. Mm. And it's. I'm pretty sure God is not misogynistic in any way at all. Okay. And in the entire concept of my mom, there were certain phrases or certain places where I really couldn't agree to her. I would still go with it. And you questioned, you'd go like, you're not a Muslim anymore. You're out of the religion.
Right, right.
Okay, you need to read the Kalma. Yeah. So it was a lot of pressure or in the same way. But I think the things started going was because I started talking and standing up against even that time itself, even the class of 10th or 11th or 12th. My mama, who was misogynistic, yeah, you are misogynistic, as fuck, he wouldn't really see any women grow in any way at all. I remember that my mom's little sister was not married yet. She's finished her graduation. They wouldn't let her go work because she was like, get married and if your husband allows you, you can work. And I felt so terrible. Why would you do that? Why would you even want it in that first place? And my dad's concept was entirely different. I'm educating them because I want them to be in a position that at the end of the day, when things go wrong, I know my girls can take care of themselves.
They're independent.
You know, yeah, they're independent. I just want them to be able to stand on their own legs and not be dependent on anyone. And that's the thing that we have taught. And they're not okay with that because according to them, you're giving the freedom for a woman to speak. That is nothing but going against your husband or whatever that is. Your entire existence is to be
to
a
serve
part
your
of
husband.
Your... Yeah. So imagine me. I'll divorce him. So you know what?
Hey, don't say all that. What she won't do all that.
So, they know that, okay? So I remember. So it's like that. I remember my mama going like, who is going to marry someone like her? Have you seen the tongue? Why? They even tell him, you know? I feel like the only person who can actually tackle this guy is Radha. So they used to tell him because I'm the only... I wouldn't take shit. I would say, why are you saying that? Why do you think you have the right to say that? I wouldn't agree to it at all. And my father always stood by it. And he'd be like, maybe you don't have the balls to take it, but I'm pretty sure there'll be somebody who'll accept her the way it is.
Right.
I feel deep down he'd also be a little scared.
Saying it like, that's going to kill it.
So that is always something that went around. And when I started to get to know the pressure, the family thing, is when I finished my graduation. And everybody would
when
get
you say
married.
Graduation, you're
so sorry. Yeah. When the PUC,
right.
Everybody would get married. They're looking out their thing. My mom's side, majority of them were married. Their entire agenda was to find a guy and have babies, and that's it. And they would feel so superior of it. I am not denying it. It's your credit. It's if you feel that your life is that you want to be a housewife and that's how that what makes you happy. Good for you.
Right.
Please don't judge somebody who's not okay with it. Just because I am not okay with it, you cannot be judgmental of that and say that
shove it down your throat.
Exactly. So. These people are all married. I was so shocked. You would reach the age of 16, they would get engaged. At the age of 18, they're married. And they don't know anything about life or about surviving, about existence, about themselves. Forget about everything. And I just recently realized that when you even talk about self-love, for them, it's arrogance. It's selfish. Okay? To an extent that they are like, you're only thinking about yourself. There's nothing called self-love that exists because here you're only thinking about yourself. You're being selfish, you're being meaningless, and you do not care about the entire world. And that's when you realize that's the reason people are scared. The moment you accept yourself, they put out a tag of arrogance at you and say you're being arrogant, you're being rude, you're being mean, you're being self-obsessed and concerned. Like, it's so crazy. I still remember taking a live and saying that we were at places wherein I'm trying to participate in a contest or something, and people around me, let's take out my own family, would say you're being overconfident. It took me so much to be confident about the content or about what I'm presenting myself. And it took you 1 second to come and tell I'm being overconfident and crush me down. Mm. I would have got that because of whatever that is. I mean, people don't even have the confidence that they require. And we have people coming and telling you're being overconfident.
Yeah.
So that's what I realized these days, that this is what happened. And the whole education system is also very crazy, okay? You score good, you're somebody with good thing, then you're a school leader. It doesn't matter you have a leadership quality or not. It's nothing. I feel like the moral science was so much important that subject had to be glorified to an extent than your Pythagoras theorem or
moral science was never included as part of your year and marks, if you remember. Just an optional thing. Just give it.
Not just that. They were not even taught to an extent that was it was so important that everyone today is lacking kindness. Everyone today is just not humble.
And it's taught so badly,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Moral science is what?
Yeah, I know.
It's nothing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was the most important subject for us. If we had to survive this life, I think that was a subject that was that had to be given more importance than anything else. And it was, even the school system was biased on a whole different level. Okay, it was like, okay, you're being this, then all right. Favoritism was on a whole different level. You're my favorite child. You're my favorite kid. A maths teacher likes this. This
but
guy.
You see that even in the corporate world, you see that with even
everywhere
the career bit as well. Yeah. I think we spoke about that as well. Right?
If you are, it's
sucking up to that person.
You're sucking up to that person, and that person is also using you because they're using you for their
and they reasons. Like it. They thrive there, right?
That's the reason. No? Yeah. And then they're doing their level best to just put it out there, and that's the worst part. And I'm like, there is, if at all I'd got a little push, or if at all they push me to an extent and tell that you can go and speak to, you can be the MC to, or you can go ahead and host an event to. I think I would have done much better, just because it was always given to the school leader, which I think was, I forgot that guy's name, some tall guy,
yeah,
very tall guy, okay?
Must be a good leader.
Yes, very tall guy, with two head leaders, because they had a fight with, I want to be the leader, you want to be the leader, so they made two girl leaders and one male. They had to have a male no matter what, and it was just so much of competition that you did not even teach people accepting them or putting them in a position to know that this is what it is. And at the same time, I realized that both of these people knew that they were potential enough to be the leader, and they fought for it. Okay,
right.
It was more of a voting, like you had to go ahead and vote as to who you wanted to choose and all of it. But it was very rational at the same time that they were chosen as with regards to their
marks. Because they stepped up, they wanted.
No, it was chosen. Oh. They choose people and then they're like, go ahead and choose.
But they fought for it after that, right? I mean, in the sense they would have wanted to be leaders anyway.
No, they pretend like, no, it's okay. But deep down,
it is
there.
I know that as well. That initial stage is like, I mean, even if I don't win, it's okay. Not a big deal.
It's okay. Yeah. And then one girl had her mother involved into it. And I'm just like, you just said it's okay. Okay.
And not just that, you have two leaders, like you said, at the end of it. They couldn't come up with
one leader. One started crying so bad that she couldn't get it that they had to give it to her. Another one was like, it's okay, it's fine, but she still wouldn't want to let it.
Leaders who cry. It's always the best.
And I had discipline leader tag. Yeah. And I was so done. I would go and check nails of everyone. I'm like, so done. I think I still don't have nails because of that reason.
Right. So good. So it worked.
It worked. Okay. It was so annoying. But then I felt really bad at places. They were union leaders and cultural leaders. I knew that I was good at cultural. I could be good as a union leader, but it was given to people who were of the same community or something, just for the sake of their name or the community, and not for me. And I felt bad. Why would you do that? That person does not even know how to talk. Okay. And
why
if you
force it
yeah.
On
and
it.
And why? And why is it that I am going to get a job that's not even that important? But now I feel it was important. But it was a lot of bias and everything that happened and in that way. And there was not at all a push to people. If they did, I feel that everybody would have done better. It was always that you have to end up being an engineer or a doctor, or there's nothing that can go out of it. Nobody knew what is passion. Nobody knew what skills were. Nobody knew that they can also be good at something and make that as a passion. I think it's now that people are understanding, and I'm pretty sure nobody expected me to be here. I'm pretty sure. Okay, I'm someone coming from there. They pretty much thought I might be married at the age of 18, had kids by now. Who would have known that somebody would talk English as good? Because I remember people correcting my grammar to understanding as to how it works, to everything. I still remember my maths teacher. I need to give her $700. She got me a hoodie, and I never gave it to her. The next time I'm coming to Coorg, I wish I give that to you.
Now that it's on record.
Now, and I have the money. Deep down in my heart, I'm like, I hope she doesn't ask me. She didn't ask me. Yeah. I felt so bad. Now I feel so bad. She got me a beautiful jacket, which didn't have sleeves. And now I'm not a fan of off-sleeve jackets, but a beautiful hood. The hood was so beautiful. And she gave it to me because I didn't have the money. We went out on a trip. But that was the thing. The teachers were quite okay as well. They would do that. And in the same way, I still feel that if school systems start concentrating on the skill part also, as to understand that people can and develop a career out of the passion that you have, it would be helpful. But in the same way, the moment I said I want to go to Bangalore for my degree, which was again a plan, take a distinction from school, go take science, score well, take a course that's not in Coorg, and then go, then step out of it and all of it. The entire reason is because the family was jealous.
Okay.
Okay. I could feel that because they were like, we were not let out. Why is she let out? You know, we were not sent to work. Why is she sent to work? If you're going to send her to Bangalore, she's going to be ruined. She's going to have a tongue. Nobody's going to marry her. Nobody's going to be a part of it. And nobody would want to be interested. The entire agenda of my existence was marriage, was to please a man, was not for me, but for somebody else out there, for the society. And to an extent that my father was so okay with me going to Bangalore, he was ready for me to give the loan and stuff. But these people would come and fuel them every single day, telling that this is what happened, this is what it is, this is not going to work this way, you have to pay the loan, your land will go away and all of it.
You have no idea what happens in Bangalore.
Yeah, bitches, I paid the loan off all by my fucking self. It was
congratulations.
So angry on
yeah, it's awesome. It's great. That is actually a big feat.
Oh my God.
How many people at your age can really say that you paid back a loan? So, which is great.
I think Canada itself, Canara Bank, you guys have to like give me a certificate or something. Because I think back, the branch back in Canada, they were so scared to give the loan.
Yeah.
All the rich people out there, again, whoever is watching this, they all took loans, studied, never paid the loan off, and they ran away.
Are you serious?
Yes. There's so many. And this manager is crying to me and saying the reason I'm scared to give the loan is because nobody pays it off. Okay. But the worst part was when the loan was taken, it was told that if you're able to clear it off in 4 years, you don't have to pay the interest.
Are you serious?
He never spoke about accrued interest.
Oh, okay. Okay. Obviously, I'm wondering, wait, all interest?
Yes. Yeah. I am 16 year old. How would I know about this if you don't
simple interest,
tell me?
PTR, and you just start calculating.
I don't even know mathematics. Okay. He's told you that way. So imagine if you've agreed to it. And he didn't really think. I think this is a trap altogether with banks as well. You tell it that way. They know that you're not going to pay anyways. You have an accrued interest for 4 years, followed by the actual interest that is going to fall. And they didn't know that I would do. Everyone was shocked. Like, what is happening? Even now when I call my bank, I was like, hello, oh, this is Rudha. Ma'am, we are opening your account, ma'am. We'll just see if we've got your mail or not. They're so scared because I'm so done trying to reach out to them. And this system was shitty. And that's one thing I never knew. So I was trying my hard the entire 4 years to save up enough money to clear off 2 lakhs. Because it was, even though the loan was for 3 lakhs, I had just taken 2 lakhs. And that's when I realized that there was an accrued interest of 60K on it. It was just 40K that was left. And I get to know, boom, it's 60K and it's 1 lakh again.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody would come and say, why are you sending them? Why are you doing this? Especially my mom's side was so crazy. That they wouldn't be happy about anything. How you are the one who are going to pay the loan. I'm telling you, you'll have to sell the loan and all of it. I even came to an extent that if somebody's going to come and marry me, I'll tell you have to give me 3 lakhs. Pay off the loan.
That's it.
That was the entire, I didn't even know. I think I cannot take, I still cannot take money from people. I would not want that thing, or I would not do that, or I would not visit a place, or I would not wear it if it takes me to take money from somebody until unless I'll earn my own thing. But one thing I promised myself was to never, ever take money from anybody. It's okay. It'll take 2 more months, three more months.
Fine.
It's fine, but I'll not take money from anyone. That's one thing I promised for my about myself. And after coming to Bangalore also, giving them the whole thing. But that's the thing. So I feel bad because even they're brought up in a situation that they are like, you're a girl. This is what you have to do. This is how the society works. You will live if you are good to your husband. You will live and survive. Your entire agenda is that anyways.
And if you satisfy and please the society.
Society. Then right. It's fine. This is how it has to go. I'm going to be the bitch and talk about every other person. At the same time, I'm going to be the religious police also and go against it. I'll also do all the shitty things under my burqa. But outside, I'm doing whatever the religion asks me to do or the society wants me to do. It's shitty to an extent that they're going to talk rubbish shit about people. They don't even know that they're being unkind or judging people is not right. And they think that they're being superior about it. Mom is someone who used to do this. I'm like, no, mom, you're not going to do that. And I love how she's evolved from it. Even now when we talk about it, we're like, we're just going to finish off everything, every money that you've taken from people, because I do not want you to ask money from anyone. You ask us, we'll somehow figure it out. But I do not want you to take this from anyone, from anybody else. But this is how it was. But in my dad's side, the girls were working. They were in Bangalore. I have my cousin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
My favorite cousin is, her name is Alicia. And she was studying here. She started working when she was 17. She pretended that she was 18 so that she could get a job at Flipkart. Then they got to know they had to fire. But then she turned 18 by then. She got into Myntra. And I used to always just look at her, how is she doing it? Because her father left. Her father left. She had to take care of her brother and her mother all by herself. And I didn't know what was it. And that's when you realize that it was a situation that forced her to do that, to an extent that she didn't give up. She didn't say, okay, you know what, let me just marry a rich guy and they'll take care of you, let me do it. No, she didn't do it. She's like, I'm going to take it all on my hand and I'm going to do that. That's something that I used to always admire. And this girl, my sister's always had my back. And this girl used to always believe in me. She'd always say, you're going to make it big, girl. You're going to make it big. And now when she looks at me, she's like, I told you, you're going to make it big. You're going to make it big. And I know that. And that's one thing. And I don't even know as to what was it that drove me to an extent to think to this extent that take distinction, take this, come to Bangalore, take a loan and all of it. But I'm glad it worked
yeah.
out.
Yeah, you wouldn't be sitting here with me. That's one thing for sure.
But
yeah, that's why. It all comes back to me. No, I'm just a very selfish piece of shit. But no, yeah. But that's great. And I think that phase, I'm sure you went through a lot. And I'm sure, like you said, there's your family mm-hmm. members who have either seen what you have done
mm-hmm.
and then realized, okay, there are this side of the coin exists too.
It's more of them trying to find out shit about me. It's never encouraging me or accepting
even now
they are the reason that lady texted me was because I blocked her on Instagram. She couldn't find my account or stalk me
right.
or send it to the main group and go ahead and say. There are a lot of them who do it in the family. I just recently realized that my mom's side, they got in a family get together and the only discussion or the topic they talk about is me. Okay,
yeah.
They're like, I saw her picture somewhere and she was doing that or doing
yeah.
this. See, this is what it is. And they're like, it's a father who ruined it. We'll not talk about it. The reason they don't talk about it is because I gave them very badly left and right. I said, were you there? Did you pay my bills? Don't involve
yeah,
in me.
Yeah.
If you guys are living your life, live your life.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys are doing things right, do it right.
Why
don't
put my life
under
a microscope?
Don't put it. Yeah. Don't force it on me. I respect you. Don't lose it to an extent that I will not even look at your face. So that's the reason they're like, it's okay. It's their life. They knew it because that's what they would come. And that's the reason I think mom and dad are good and okay with it. Or I think they're waiting for me to come back so that it can be a family gathering.
It's definitely that. Which day she comes back, let's
oh
tell everyone.
Yes. Oh my God. I remember I went back home for 2 days and my aunt kept telling, you know what? I'm coming there. I said, don't. I left already.
I am not coming.
No, no, no. So first day when I came, I did not tell anybody. The second day, I was anyways about to leave
okay.
in the night. And she goes like, I'm coming to see you. Are you going to come? She did not tell, please come home. She said, I'm coming to see you. No, I left. I'm in the bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm long gone.
Yeah. I'm not coming.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh
but yeah,
God.
But what is your situation like? Okay, so even with education, right? A lot of people, for the most bit, today, and I think society operates like you said, where they look at each other
mm-hmm.
and then realize that this is probably the norm, this is probably the standard. I think this is how we should go. And I think with your family thing as well, that was the situation where there was pressure because everyone was brought up that way. And with education too, now it's become a situation where you're like, hey, let's just take a loan. It says, you know, like, and someone will pay it off. Don't worry.
Exactly.
If not him or her, we've got money. It's
yes,
fine. We'll figure that bit out.
Yes.
But education is a must, which is great, I think, to a good degree.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
But right now, I kind of feel like back in places are like people down or in the village areas. The reason
yeah.
of an education is just so that they can put it in a wedding card.
Correct. Exactly. That's what I was getting to next, which is the fact that you just have the title
yeah.
or you've just graduated.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea what you have taken from the degree.
No, it doesn't matter
yeah.
what is your education or what you've learned. You don't even know to differentiate good or bad.
Yeah.
But the only thing that matters for them is this. I think it's the same thing. Like, remember I told you yesterday, I thought this is how people are.
Yeah.
You know, this is,
yeah.
I thought this is how I am, like, you know, talking or being confident. And then I think it's a small bubble you make about for yourself, where you put yourself in a position that you make yourself comfortable
right.
in that bubble.
Right.
You don't really step out of the bubble or when somebody is trying to burst your bubble is when you realize that, oh my God, there's a world outside as well.
That's true.
Okay. And that's what is happening to me right now. And that's the same thing with my family also. There's a bubble that they've created and they want everyone to stay inside that bubble.
Adhere to that.
Yes. Right. And if that does not happen, they're not okay with it because the bubble's going to burst. You know, I'm moving out, people are going out. They don't like it that their bubble's bursting, and the entire concept of their bubble bursting itself gives them that
anxiety
to an extent that they're not okay with it
right.
And that's when I realized that, okay, this is the bubble where I've made that, you know, this is self-love, this is confidence, this is how it has to be. And now when I know that, oh my God, the world is not this way, there are people struggling to go through the same thing, is when I'm like, okay, I need to widen my bubble, I need to accept all of them and understand this is how it is as well
right. And that's a big reason for us to have this conversation as well. Honestly, I started this with the intent of at least reaching out to individuals who are maybe stuck in that regular, you know, the conventional path
yeah.
of, you know, you're born, you're a child, great, You study, great. Then you probably have to do a post-graduation degree, maybe, or get a job. And then you get a better job. Get married, get a better job. That's it. So you know that whole lifestyle, right? And like you said, a lot of them don't even realize that there is another way.
Yeah, there's another way to life. Yeah. Or there's something that you can go ahead with it as also. There's a lot of them who, I'm pretty sure this is your passion.
Which, I mean, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't born thinking I'm going to be a podcaster or the content creator. You know, I'm an engineer. I'm also an entrepreneur. I'm running a startup right alongside this. But content's just gotten me so hooked right now.
Yeah, I can look at you and I know that you enjoy doing it. And I think that's what people do not understand, or they fail to understand, that your passion can give you happiness to an extent that you don't even know. So let's take an example of me doing MCing or anchoring itself. I didn't know that was my cup of tea. I was so scared. I still remember seeing, being on the stage and mumbling, fumbling, startling. You can use whatever the word you have to do. I used to stutter so much that I couldn't take the mic. I used to sweat so badly because I was so scared. Imagine me being a professional MC right now. And that was the thing. And I didn't think I would enjoy this. The only reason I started this was because I was earning and I just wanted to pay my mess fee. I just wanted to survive and thrive. That's all it was. But I didn't really think I could make this as an occupation.
You started doing this when you were in college itself.
Yes. So right. Monday to Friday, it was college. Saturday, Sunday, it was work. Monday to Friday, it was college. Saturday, I love that lifestyle because I was so busy with myself. At the same time, I would want to take rest. Sometimes I would take offs, take care of myself and all of it. I would save the money. I knew where my money was going, how it was coming, where it was going. But nobody was helping me. It was all me doing all for myself. And that's when I realized that, oh my God, life is not as easy, but it can also be fun. And eventually with every passing month, with every passing year, when the months passed, I didn't regret for not doing anything that month. I was happy. But at the same time, when I joined corporate, that's when I realized that this is not my cup of tea because I was waiting for the month to end. I remember not wanting the month to end. And for wanting the month to end, the difference was so immense that I just wanted to earn the money, somehow to get the money and done with. And I was like, oh my God, the years pass by so quick. You don't even know you're in the corporate for so long because you're just waiting for the month to get to end, right, you know, for the money. And that's how you're stuck in that position for a long time, thinking that maybe I'll do this for some time and then I'll earn enough, then I'll give it a shot. No, your shot was when you had it in your head. Your shot was then. It was not that. That's one thing that stops them. The fear of failure is one thing that stops all of them. Maybe my situation and my circumstances were the things that put me through MCing. But my first event was not good. My second was worst. My third didn't go well. My fourth client wasn't happy. My fifth was not bad. Imagine if I stopped at fifth. Imagine if I said it's not my cup of tea. I would not be here. Or I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be here. It was my ninth or tenth event is when I felt that I am doing good. I can be proud of what I'm doing and I can be confident in whatever it is. Giving up can never be an option. There are people who dream in the age of 21 and achieve at the age of 48, but they don't stop dreaming. They don't stop working on what they want to dream. But don't forget to not give it a shot at least, which is just like the entire regretting. And now during the pandemic is when people have started converting their passion to occupation.
Why? Because you're stuck at home.
Exactly.
You're just thinking and you're just like, I'm stuck here. I'm just not going to office. I have no one to meet, nothing to do.
Yeah. So many people have lost jobs. Now people make content. Or they're earning from it. People are either creators and artists. People are talking about things. People are doing so many things, from thrift stores to actual businesses, from stitching to cooking, from baking. Mm-hmm. There are so many online businesses that has been run over Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp and everywhere that it's crazy on a whole different level, that now it took a virus for you to realize that your passion can also be your occupation.
Right. And I'll tell you another thing, though. It's I mean, see, you and I can probably see it that way, which is our passions can be an occupation because maybe because of clarity, maybe because of exposure, maybe because you've read a lot into it, we've done the research and put in a lot of work. But I know a lot of people who have just started doing this because they've always found this whole empty void or space within. And they're like, okay, I do have a passion. Let's just give it a try. But they never thought about converting and making that a full-time thing. Right? Yes. There are a lot of people who just do it as a hobby or a passion. And then they're just like, it's okay. I mean, three months in, I've done it. I think this is all people can do. Let me just stop and get back to my regular job because my boss demands it. And you know how it is, right? But I think once you have that clarity and once you realize that there is another way, then you're just like, okay, I read this very, and this really hit me. So if you start crying now, don't blame me.
All right. I'm just, all right.
No, it's like, I think Naval Ravikant, he's like one of the biggest entrepreneurs and VCs in the world. He spoke about how everyone has two lives and your second life starts the day you realize that the first, you only have one.
One, yes.
Right? Exactly. So that like literally hits you. And you're just like, wow. So the, you know, people really and truly only start living when they realize, okay, I probably spent so many years in at this job. Or I've studied and there's this whole sunk cost fallacy where you're putting so much effort into one thing. Like I've become an engineer, done post-graduation degree. I've worked in corporate for 10 years. 15 years of my life's gone. Now there's no point in if I make the move, right?
It's just that they realize that the 15 years has not given them the happiness that they're looking for.
Or even in the future.
Exactly my point. Right. Let's take this as an example itself, the corporate. Have you seen the way the corporate put themselves out there? You know, you're going for a call center job, which you have been put out as a financial advisor or whatever that is. The title itself given to you is supreme. Okay, you're understanding. You're a financial advisor advising people all the way from UK, not even from India. So now the whole concept of the thing is the way they put you or the way they put you under a shell or surround yourself is to an extent that you think this is what you have to do, that you think you can grow here or this is your destiny or whatever that is. The level of corporate motivation is different.
Yeah.
And I was just studying them. I was just learning. I was like, one, I'm going to take as many things I can from this. I'm going to learn as much as I can from this place. And I'm going to make sure that I'm putting this in my life as well. From my NHT training of a language, basic English language, to our training with regards to finances and banking and everything. I was just meeting all of these new people with new ideas and agendas and how they're stuck in this particular thing and how they find joy according to them and how they try to keep people in the same way. And it's crazy. And it's crazy. I still remember, and I'm pretty sure when I walked out or something, I was so confident telling that I'm not sure how things are going to work, but I can't, you know, I'm way too good for this. There might be some people who might go like, oh my God, she actually walked out. I remember my NHT trainer as well. Oh my God. I have never met a man that amazing in my life. I will never forget him. He was the perfect gentleman, okay? He dressed well. He spoke well. He had a voice that would literally melt people. And I would kill, I had killed at least 6-7 people in the training room.
Yeah.
He was so patient with everybody.
Right.
I was learning so much from that man. He was indirectly teaching me in so many ways that he does not even know.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to him at the end, I was like, you know what, Andrew, I'm leaving. And he was like, I knew you would not stay. Even when I put your papers down and proposed you, I remember telling them that she has a social media presence and the spark in her eyes is different when she talks about it. And I'm pretty sure if it hits off, she'll leave.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you'd leave this soon, but then you know what? You've just kind of inspired me to think about stuff twice, or you know, think about things multiple times.
Right.
Yeah, and man, I had a crush on that man so bad, and when I realized that he was taken, I was so sad.
Like, I'm going to quit because I can't date my coworkers. I quit and then like, you're already taken. Like, what the?
No, I knew it. Okay?
No, I'm just saying.
It was a thing. Come on, it's us girls. Our stalking skills are...
I think all of us inherently, the moment we have social media, right?
Yeah.
You know how it is, family and friends, and we can just find out things that even
they don't know. And I was like, and it was in a very beautiful committed relationship. I'm really happy for them.
Right.
And... so it was like breaking my bubble was because I remember my other co-worker, Muthu, and another one, Archana. These two were the only friends. I had friends there, but these two were the only one who could take me and who loved me. And I really want to thank Muthu because she would always say, Rida, you're not going to stay here for long. It was a reminder she would give me every day. You're not going to stay here for long. You're going to work on whatever you want to do. You're going to leave here. You're going to be the MC. I feel like you can act, or else you can going to act. You're going to work on your content. You're not going to stay here. It was a reminder that she would give me every single day. This is not your cup of tea. Not in a negative way. Like, this is not what you're made for. You're not going to stay here for long. Okay. Remember this.
How long were you at this job again?
6 months. And she was, oh, I wouldn't survive if it was not for Muthu. I'm like, if she's not there, I'm like, that's it, I'm leaving.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can't come to work. Yeah. She looked so young that I didn't know she was 30 and she had a kid. I thought she was 22 of my age. I think it's an assumption that we make, because once you're out of that age, you feel like everybody else is also of the same age.
Right.
But that woman was crazy. I've learned so many things from her. This is one thing she would say. We went to an ice cream parlor. They gave us one scoop and I was like, I want a little more. She said, ask. But then how would I ask?
Yeah.
You would know what the response is. It would be yes or a no, but you would get an answer. And I was like, yes, exactly. And then I asked him, can you give me a smaller scoop of it? And he gave me. Like, if you didn't ask, you wouldn't know. Okay? And you got an extra ice cream. There were so many things I got to learn from so many people from there. And I was just like, wow, this place is crazy on a whole different level, but at the same time, very beautiful. There was also another manager. Her name was Deepika, who was really close to me. And close to me to an extent that she would just, she was my fan. She would say, I'm your fan in front of everyone. I was nothing then, okay? I was just like in 3K followers. And she would watch my IGTVs every day. And she would go like, hello, Rida. Hey, this is me, Rida Tarana. She would say that, okay? She would look at me and she'd say, welcome back to my IGTV. She was such an adorable lady. And I love the fact of the way she understood people, okay? Can you imagine me training? It was a night shift, okay? I'm somebody who
takes... Oh, is it?
Yes.
You didn't mention that.
Yes, on during training sessions, I already don't understand all the technical terms that they are teaching. On top of it, it's at 2 o'clock that you want me to take all of this information. It goes out of my head, all right? So this trainer, she was training us, even though she was a manager, she was training us for a week. She would give me 15 minutes of power nap.
Wow.
And I loved it so much.
Because she knows you had to go back home and create content.
No. It was not bad. It was the best part was she understood.
Yeah,
okay. She understood that people can be different. And she would give me, she's like, you know, go to bed. It's okay. It's fine.
Right.
You know, she'd give me 15 minutes of power nap. And I had gotten used to it that when the next trainer came, I would take 15 minutes of power nap and she was not okay with it.
Obviously. What's wrong with you?
Okay. Anybody would come. Where is Rida? I'm sleeping. Even when I started taking calls, if the call's not there, I'm fast asleep.
What?
Okay, this is one time. The phone's ringing, okay? And I'm like, hello? 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 Okay, the customer. Nobody's talking. Yeah. Rida, you've not answered. If your answer is when you can talk.
It's still ringing.
There were times that, you know, I used to wear warm clothes because the AC was so high there. It was too bad that I would sit there, 1 hour of me sitting straight. Another hour, I'm bending backwards. Another hour of me like this. Another hour of me, my legs are all bent on the chair. Another hour of me on the table. That's all it's doing. I was like, they were so mad at me. So mad at me. Like, my manager was so angry that he even complained to the higher manager saying that when she went to the washroom, she took her phone. She told it's a washroom break. I said, 15 minutes is my break. I take my washroom break. I don't take my washroom break. I use my phone. I don't use my phone. It doesn't matter. You told me to give 8 hours. I've given you 8 hours. And on top of it, she only sleeps. I think she's not interested because she's leaving. And then he told that to that person. I went to that person. He called me up and he said, you know, you were using your phone when you went to washroom. I said, so?
Yeah.
No, what is the big deal? No, you can't use. No, you're telling them that you're going to the washroom. I said, what? You know, you first of all, I don't understand how are you so presumptuous and judgmental in a corporate world. Okay, I have a sister I need to check on. I sometimes she does not. We have to Swiggy food because we don't have time or something like that. And it takes
literally
2 seconds of you to come and ask me, and I would give you the reason as to why I did this.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really have to come to you.
Right.
Okay. And coming to the sleeping part, 8 hours, I'm giving it to you, right? Sometimes my head hurts. Sometimes I'm not really okay with it. I'm doing my job. I'm doing best of it. If you go see anything anywhere that I'm doing wrong, it's fine. And then he's like, do you think you're doing this because you're leaving it? What? I'm just asking you because a lot of them do that. So? I don't fall under a lot of them.
Yeah.
I myself agreed on serving 1 month of period when I could have just ended in 1 week or so. And you think I at least have basic ethics to give my best.
Right.
I was so angry. I said, you know what? I did not expect this. I am offended. I want you to go and tell this to the person that the least you could do is ask what exactly is going and things would be fine. But I was so angry. My manager was sitting right there. I went back and I ranted it right in front of everyone. Like, I don't know who had the audacity to go tell this to it. You could have just asked me. And he was just like so scared. Like, why did I even do this? And when I left, he's like, please stay in contact. Okay, I'm like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you wish. You so wish. But then there were people who were really nice, and at the same time, a lot of them, even when we had huddles, just tell me this, okay? They're asking questions. If you know you would answer, these people would not answer. Okay, and I'm just like, if we don't start in next 10 minutes, I have to extend to 10:30 or 11:30. I can't do this. And I would answer. They'd be like, do you know the girl who's actually answering? The girl who's talking out loud? Do you know who that girl was? I was like the popular person in the corporate. I was like, anywhere you go, you make your name, man. Okay. Either right. I was like, did you see the audacity? One.
Yeah, yeah.
Or she just shows off. Two. Right. She walks in as though she owns the Concentrics.
Yeah,
three.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love her. Four. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was, this is how it was most of the time. But it was fun in the same way because nobody had the guts to come talk to me. I would just sit like this, like I had this resting bitch face. Don't talk to me. I don't want to communicate with anybody. Everybody would want it or want to talk to me, but they didn't have the balls and the guts to talk to me. And yeah. Eventually end up like, okay, she's just not easy, or yeah. She's just being rude.
One of those people. Yeah.
So yeah, but that's when I realized that this is not my cup of tea. And there are so many of them sulking down there who are passionate about so many things. And things like these are dragging them down to the next end. But there are people who are earning well also. They're going down with it as well.
Of course. I mean, that's the... Yeah. Once some of these people, that's their main driving factor, mm-hmm. right? They know for the fact that with this much work mm-hmm. or this skill set, I don't want to call it skill set, depending on, you know, very subjective.
Yeah.
But with what I have, I can make so much. And this is the kind of growth I see potentially.
Exactly. So my sister is someone who's into corporates. I see her having fun with it.
Which is good.
So we can't question that as well. Right? Yeah. Again, but then to a lot of people who are in passion, I really, really want them to give it a shot to whatever it is that they want to do
right.
and figure things out. Because if you can go ahead and give it a shot. But most of the times it comes to financial crunch. The reason they end up in a corporate is because at the end, they want a promising amount that can help or promise sustainability when it comes to their surviving.
I'll tell you, there's also a very weird... this is a very weird vicious cycle because there are instances where maybe, that could be the initial thing. So even the initial you having to get a job while you walk out of college is also social pressure to a certain degree, right? Then once you do get a job and then 2-3 years in, you, like you said, you can't say no to society to a good degree. So if people ask you to come out and then becomes a certain mm-hmm, lifestyle mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. then you have to, you know, your expenses also get bumped up.
Yes.
Then you need to either find a job that you know, is sustainable at that level.
Because once you're used to what you're living, there's no way you would want to go down. It's right. the same thing with me right now as well.
With everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So once you hit up a place like, this is how I want things, you would not want to go back down because you've worked your ass off to get to this level.
Correct.
Okay. And to go with it. And
I think also with this, sorry to cut it short, even with this, right? I think at that point, when you reach that level, right? The next job that you take is usually not aligned with your passion or mm-hmm. these things you mm-hmm. want to do because mm-hmm. you probably won't find a job with the number of years you put into it.
Yes.
That might be able to kind of sustain this lifestyle.
And
right?
not just that, no, the corporate is very cunning in its own way. So if you're...
Everyone's selfish. Yes.
If you are worked for years and years together in financial sector, you have to look for a job in financial sector itself if you want a boost in your amount. But if you go to a new area or in a new field...
Unpaid internship fresher. Probably.
You're a fresher.
Absolutely. I think that's a very tricky balance to strike because you can also see where the companies are coming from because obviously they're looking at investing in the right people.
Yeah, and on the same time, they also have to know when it comes to them selecting. Also, it takes a lot of them to know that they do not want to invest the money because them hiring itself is putting out a lot of money on me.
Dude, you have with my startups as well. I've been the one who's hiring and having to even let people go for that matter as well because performance is not up to the mark or people are just not in it for the right reasons. And the effort I have personally put in to find the right people, right? Like even the person like Prasad, who's working with us as well, is after doing a lot of steps of, seeing whether the person's really in it for the long run, seeing whether they're passionate about the job,
exactly.
right? Because there could be a day where we can't pay you absolutely jack shit, nothing, but would you still want to work and improve your profile? Right? That's what we are more focused on. So I get what you're saying where companies are at a very weird situation. Mm-hmm. I won't even say weird. It's a very a tight balance to strike, but I think it is necessary. So what you can do is equip yourself the right way.
Exactly. In the same pattern also, the pandemic has hit every corporate in a different way. Some of them have benefited from it. Some of them have gotten worse from it. It's kind of like a game at the moment right now. But it's just that I'm not saying corporate is bad, but all I'm saying is people with dreams and passion, it's somewhere that you lose yourself.
Correct. Right. So, and I've seen that also to be true for the most bit. And I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway I have from even with education or with, you know, the corporate setup or, you know, being part of any MNC or whatever, right? You get to interact with many people, very like-minded, unlike-minded also.
Different? Oh yeah, my God.
And like you said, you these people who weren't in it to improve your life or, you know, for you to take away so many facets or, you know, attributes from, you studied like this person you looked up to. He didn't put on this whole thing to like impress you. Yes. That's just the kind of person he was.
That's just the kind of person he was. And and not just that, I think the entire concept of us, I think Akash, you're the first person I'm hearing it as well. Not all of them go with the mindset of learning or not all of them understand that there are going to be different of opinions. You have in your bubble, your opinions are right, but there are going to be opinions that might be different from yours, which might not be right or different. Yeah. Let's consider different. Nothing is wrong. It's different, but you can all survive and sustain with equally respecting each other. In the same way here also, it's this entire concept of us that learning from it, you know, whatever happens, people who have kind of figured things out, when whatever happens to them, they take it and learn from it. You know, not all of them do that,
right?
And that's one thing we need to understand, that whatever happens in your life, you need to learn things from that. Learn negatives from it, learn positive from it, learn what is it that you want to repeat. Like, just let's take an example of your camera itself. Okay, you understanding that there might be moments of me which you do not want things to happen. It's things that you're learning. Imagine if you just did not care, you would not implement it.
Dude, I'm like an anxious, crazy, over like overthinking crazy person. So yeah, you know that, right? So I'm just like, I've seen instances where the focus is slightly off and I'm just like,
oh
no, we shot this 2 weeks ago. I'm looking at this. Why didn't I know?
There's some things I really, really tell everybody, please go easy on yourself. There are things that you don't have control over. You know, if you did have a control over, then you would be a robot. You're not a human. Your life would not be fun. It's that blurry part that you have to be happy about than everything clear and nice, you know. And that's when I realized that I am not sure as to how did I take in or how did I come to a position that I started taking everything in a positive manner, to know that it's okay. Life is hard and it's okay for you to go with ups and downs. But I'm really grateful to the position I am now. Even now when things go wrong, I'm like, it's fine. Right. You know, it's okay. I'm going to see why did it go wrong? Where did it go wrong? Let's analyze this and see that this does not happen. But it's okay because you don't have control over a lot of things, and it's fine.
Yeah, we need to talk about the control bit for sure. This, even with this corporate thing, right? Another thing that pushed me, and I'm sure that might have pushed you to, you know, quit your job, is what you just said, which is you notice so many people there who are either skilled at so many different things, passionate about so many other things, but they were still doing this for whatever reason right? But you realize that is something that you could learn from and then decide, hey, this is not my cup of tea. Just leave and just get to it.
This is not me. I cannot do this. I cannot believe that you are literally crushing your dream down and going ahead with this. I respect you because you might have your bills to pay and everything, but I would look myself into the mirror every single day and say, no, this is not what you are made for, and you're not giving up. I don't know what you're made for or what is it. You're made for bigger things. I used to always tell this to myself. I remember that one video which went viral was something that I used to tell myself all the time. You're made for bigger things. You deserve the world. There is nothing that can stop me. Up until and unless it's me, the barrier, if you're going to put yourself
In your own head.
So, you know, you don't know the number of negatives we think or the outcomes we think is so crazy that we never think of the positive outcomes at all. We never think, what if it works? We never think that. We never think, what if this works? What if I get what I want to get? What if this works for me? We always think, aisa ho jayega. This will not work this way. This is not going to happen that way. And I think that is what stops people from being them and doing what they want to do.
So true. So true. And I think the moment you realize and you have the clarity, right, this is what I need to be doing, You have, like you said, the first couple of questions are the toughest to answer. But if you get past that, right, and you get acting more than anything else, because like you said, the moment the idea, you know, hits your head, I think the best time to act is closest to when it hits your head. Mm-hmm. So as soon, if you get acting right away, then you start getting slow feedback. You start seeing, okay, this is actually maybe working. This is probably, you're, you know, right, inching me closer to that.
Are you someone who carries a book with you all the time?
No, I do the same thing.
Or you record something when you have the content? Yeah.
For sure.
So, you know, when I have something in my head, just I forget. Just because I don't want to, I write it down quickly because I don't forget. I have so many books filled with ideas and filled with my content. And I'm happy that these are the books that I can show, you know?
Yeah.
From my Write Diary is filled now. My Ping Diary is about to fill up. I have other diaries that have been sent to me and I'm like, wow, I can go ahead and fill these, you know, that's what it is. But the entire concept is as to how you are looking or putting yourself out there. You know, how do you want to see yourself? Because now is when I realized how you see yourself is how you will teach or will ask people to look at you. You're understanding how you are going to, how you want or how you see yourself. If you're going to see yourself as somebody who needs affirmations or who needs a validity from people, people will get to know that this is what you want and that's what you'll do. But if you are confident, I'm like, come on, I'm sexy. I know it.
Yeah.
And that there is nothing that will stop you like this. You are not finding for that validation. And how you put yourself out there or how you accept yourself is how you teach other people to respect you or treat you.
So true. And I think it comes down to, okay, so first of all, we are all societal beings, right? We are social beings. We do obviously have some amount of affirmations or, you know, feedback from, you know, the society and people you're with. There's no way you can be a loner for the entire, it's not possible, right? But having said that, I think it's very important. And I think we mentioned this in the previous episode as well, yet to be out. But you spoke about how every single thing is very subjective. So, you know, anything that's made, any law, anything that people pass, judgment to whatever is all subjective. This Mac has been made because of how one person thought. Yeah. And if there's someone else in charge, it'd be a probably a different device.
Exactly.
Right. And then on the other side, it's about how open you are to someone else's opinions too.
You're right.
Yeah. And that whole, like I said, so social media has given you the power to literally, you know, sit in the comfort of your home.
Exactly.
And you can pinpoint anything you feel like. And it's not such, it's a good power if you were willing to have a, you know, dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to have a conversation with the person. But that's not what this is about, right? You see a lot, everyone just putting their blatant thoughts out there.
Exactly, right. My point. And it's, how do I put it? Have you ever received any hate comments over your podcast?
Dude, of course I have. So many. There's so I should let people know, and you should also probably go check it out. We had this trailer for one of the episodes shot here itself. And we put in so much thought into the, you know, the introduction and how the guest is going to be introduced, the B-rolls. We're trying to make it cinematic. We have color graded it. It sounds great. It looks great. People, I send it to everyone and everyone's like, this looks really nice. So I think it slowly started, you know, gathering some traction on YouTube, and it started getting shown to newer people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one guy who saw the video and he's like, I don't know for what basis this got suggested or recommended to me. And then he's like, this is just like any other Instagram motivation bullshit. And he just went on for at least a couple of lines. And I'm just thinking, who the hell in their right mind has time to sit down and type all this bullshit? And I was like, it's a 50 second clip. 50 second I'm talking about. Okay? It's an introduction. It's a trailer. And he said, who's going to sit through this long ass video and this and that? So I think he meant the actual long form episode.
But then it did not even come out.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, this is a 50 second clip. I mean, do you want to sit down and talk about attention span later? I actually put that out there.
Oh my God.
And like, I like thrive in those situations because one, like you said, it helps me with engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So people are commenting. It's helping my channel.
Mm-hmm.
You comment bad things or good things. You're commenting, which is great. I'm happy. So you know what? I completely encourage you to do so. And I will definitely respond to it. I will probably even pin your comment and I will talk to you.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Even now is when I realized that there was some, apparently Instagram has been pushing. It's like people, if they relate to it, they definitely share. And it has been on For You page, okay? I don't understand why is this video on my For You page. I always have this UK accent whenever I read the hate comment. I don't know why. Okay? I'm just like, this girl's voice is so cringy. I cannot take it. Okay? Why does she have a fake accent? Okay.
Like she's your daughter.
Yeah.
Like that.
I don't understand that she thinks that our content is good. I'm like, I didn't think my content was good.
Yeah, people do, but I don't.
Exactly. I just put it out there because I just wanted to put it out there. And on top of it, she speaks English, so she's woke. You know? She speaks English. That means she knows everything.
Vocal. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, she's a feminist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh? Ah, she's a feminist.
So it is crazy on a whole different level. Oh, some DMs are just like, oh, yuck, you are disgusting. This one guy kept sending me middle fingers. I'm like, do you not know how to block me or should I block you? Okay, there's some of them who text me, okay, and it's like, it's so cringy. I can't believe it's on my For You page. I'm so sorry. You can go ahead and block me, or you can say you're not interested, or you can maybe hide.
Stop wasting my time.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to hide it from you, but let's see. I didn't restrict them. It, the best part is, I recently just got to know that you can restrict comments over Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they put up a hate comment, you reply something, then you restrict. Then you have other people commenting on it, and the entire thing is restricted. They are trying to comment. They're like, why is my comment not being acknowledged? It's only shown to me. I can read it, okay? But nobody else can. Okay? So I'm like, this guy also, the one that I made with the live also, he's taken off the tag option. You cannot tag him anywhere, all right? There's one girl who's coming.
Oh, one sec. You had a live with him?
No. I had a live just addressing the situation.
Okay, got it. I thought you went on. That would have been some different level. We need to do that.
With him? Yeah.
That'll be some epic ass.
Wow, meri chati, teri chati.
Exactly. I mean, just imagine what level of publicity that'll be. And imagine that fellow,
he was talking quite okay in the beginning, all right? There were a lot of points in the beginning which was shitty. It was like body positivity, and then he went like, it's obesity. Understand this difference between fat and obese. Understand this, okay? There's understanding that every human body works different. They're going through a lot mentally also. Why are you not understanding that it's
and
not
genetically
always a physical?
They could be
exactly.
That way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like my metabolism is quite high, and it does not mean that I don't eat or I don't do that. You know, hawa pani pe jeere. I'm like, paise de isko. You take care of other. And they just feel that roasting somebody or putting out random shit is okay for that. For that matter, at the end he went saying, 90% of men will not like women like these. See?
Yeah.
Now you ask me, why do I exist? Akash, I exist to please 90% of men.
Correct.
Okay, I exist here.
It's something
here
you've been hearing from your childhood.
From my childhood. Yeah. And now we have a 2021 misogynistic asshole who is 19 years old. I remember a girl commenting saying that he's just 19. You could have tried reaching out to him. Komal Pandey has reached out to us. Yeah. Even there are so many people who have reached out to this guy. And he has put up pure hate right under her comment. Abusing me. I said, you think that texting this guy
point.
Will make sense?
Yeah.
You know? And then a lot of his friends, every one of his friends are just this, you know, body positivity. I was using a filter because I tried every other light. It was not going well. So I added, again, it's my choice.
Yeah.
What does it matter? It is there for me to use. I don't understand what is the difference with it. Okay? And that just gave me a stronger point that they did not find anything that they could talk about from that video apart from that.
So they picked on the filter bit. Yeah.
That's all it was. Yeah. So one person would put 10 comments of that. I now have around 600 comments on it. I'm like, wow. This is the first live video to have so many comments.
This is like one person goes and takes a leak on the road, and then the other, oh, you can pee here.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I'll join you. I'll also pee. And then
there was this girl. There was this girl who commented saying that pehle filter to hata do didi. Understand? Filter to hata do didi. I said, I'm so sorry ki maine filter nahi dala. Main dal rahi hun because I can. Okay?
Yeah.
But I like the filter in your DP. It's nice. And that's it. And the other two guys who I spoke to, who were really nice and sweet, by the way, they texted me personally saying that we're so sorry. We were told to do this, and that's the reason we told it. Akshay was like, ye ho raha hai, wo ho raha hai. And then hame to uska content acha laga. Maine kaha, see, understand this. Him as a person, I don't hate him. I don't know him personally. But his content is problematic. Problematic to an extent that every other person feels and starts objectifying women to that extent. His entire video is about women because he couldn't find male influencers who would talk about body positivity. I was like, why would you find? Have you gone and seen their comment section? There's no hate under them until unless they're doing TikToks.
Yeah, yeah.
ओके लगे ये मेरा भाई है वो कितना अच्छा लग रहा है वो भाई मेरा
वन ऑफ दोस मीमी वंस या या
क्या भाई ये तो क्या कर रहा है तू शेयर दिख रहा है तू तो ओके द सेम वे कम टू माय कमेंट सेक्शन यू विल बी फाइंड रंडी चूतिया अपनी मां को चूत
या Yeah.
I don't understand where this
but helping
from.
With the engagement, so
yeah,
thumbs up to that.
Trust me, if it did affect me, Akash, I would drag these people down to every place and make sure, because obviously we do have people on Instagram right now that we can report.
Correct.
If it's any assault, you can go ahead and report
of course,
them, and yeah. they can take them down, like the social media inspectors we have. And I have so many contacts that I just have to go ahead and do that. And then I was like, it's not affecting me, and I'm so grateful that I've come and reached to a place that it does not affect
it
me.
It shouldn't as well, because it's a never-ending cycle,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I'm like, it's okay. So like, there are
50%
of... Yes.
Five guys behind bars or whatever, like digital bars. And then after that, you have another 15 idiots.
True.
What do you
true.
Do then?
Exactly. They're like, there are going to be 50 people who are okay with my content. There are 50 people who won't be. There were girls who were not okay with that also. There were boys who were okay with that. There were boys apologizing that, you know, I understand how much of the hate you take. To the boys who were not okay with that, like English bol rahi hai na? That means she knows everything. Yeah, English झाड़ रही है. इसको सब पता है, ठीक है? And on top of it, fake accent है. तो गए. Okay, so it is so crazy to an extent. I'm like, wow. I actually take screenshots. It's there. Screenshots of these hate comments so that I can use them as captions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how?
I'll probably put that up. You send it to me, I'll put it up in the video.
Yeah, this guy, you know, this Aditya guy, he actually commented, I do not understand. I sent it to all my Hindi people and they were like, hame bhi samajh nahi aa raha. So he said, Behenchod, tu chutiya hai. Kya dimag se ye DMs aur comments ke screenshot bhejo? Bhai, sari brain cells sayonara cringy tarah se bolne mein laga diya chutiya. ID पास ले ले बहन फिर जितनी DM रिक्वेस्ट पढ़ती रही हो तेरे पे आज तक नहीं आई होंगी मेरे पे एक दिन में आई इतनी वोक बन गई कॉमन सेंस नहीं है and I'm like what does this mean
wow that's a long comment I think the guy who commented on mine and the guy commented on holding hands and like long long ass comments and It's like, I think a fraternity there.
Yeah, there's another one. Kaan chod deti hai, Allah kasam. Allah kasam. After kaan chod deti hai, okay? Kaan chod deti hai, Allah kasam. Irritation hota hai iski awaaz se. Then I said, oh, I'm so sorry, apologize. I'll see. Behen, aapne bura to nahi mana na? Maine aise hi bol diya tha. I'm like, what are you guys expecting from this? I don't understand. And they are crazy. There's some of them from women as well, which I'm just like, okay, I do not want to see your reels or hear your voice. It's annoying as fuck. And you're faking an accent. Please fake it properly. Akash, don't I fake it properly?
No, I don't know. You tell me.
What is this? What is happening?
No, wait, I need to go put some hate comments as well. And this is just like, dude, I mean, do people really have this much time?
Yes, they do.
I mean, it's just really sad, right? When you think about it, dude, let's talk about the Myntra logo. Did you take a look at that?
Oh my God.
Like, what was that?
I was just thinking, now it comes to how you view things.
Right, exactly. And it could be just your everything, right? Everything that's gone
through. I don't really think that was their intention in the first place.
Dude, it was. If you saw the statement, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
there are multiple people apparently who are behind this. And again, I'm no expert. But what I did see was a couple of screenshots around this talking about what this statement stated, right? That is all great. I'll tell you a really funny thing I noticed, okay? My friend, there's my friend who's working in digital marketing. And he put up this on a story stating, this is the old one. This is the new one. How many of you, do you find this offensive? Yes or no?
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
The old, new. Is there any need for us to change it? Do you find this offensive? So obviously the idea is that there'd be a good majority of people who agree that this is obviously weird. I mean, why the hell? Fuck no, it's not, right? Mm. Out of that, I think at the end, he screenshotted the result and it's about 90% versus 10. So I'm like, who the hell are these 10%? Like, who's this? And then I saw my other friend's post as well, similar thing on stories. And hers was about 17% saying no. I mean, yes, I do find it offensive. And I'm wondering, see, if people at that, at the, you know, at the macro level itself, find offense in all these things, and your own followers or your own friends or people you might know, your first or second or third connections itself find it offensive, then there's something really wrong, right? Because there's nothing in the damn logo. And that's something you're just jumping at for, you know, you're basically, it's moot. Right?
I was, after that also, there was are you like with it or not with it?
No, there's nothing in it. Why do you need to change a logo that's very normal?
I am like, I don't shop from Myntra, so I don't think I need to.
Yeah, you don't need to pay my care. Mind to it. Yeah.
Okay, but then it didn't really make sense. I was like, at the end of the day, I think it's how that lady viewed it.
No, I don't know. But it's always been there, right?
Exactly.
What has changed?
You know what? After she told it is when the logo was sexualized to an extent that now the meme pages have gotten to a disgusting level.
Right.
That they attach that thing to any other woman out there.
Yeah, I know. Which is so sad. And imagine... Like,
there were so many things that you could talk about.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we require when it came to women. Let's talk about that. But then this is what you felt offensive about. But then again, I think it's different people and different perspectives and mentality altogether as to how they take in.
Dude, it comes down to how much time you spend on all this bullshit. Like, who has the time to bloody file a freaking a lawsuit on something that's really...
But do you get the money out of it?
I mean, probably they do now, right? Who knows?
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean,
do you remember the Red Bull controversy?
Red Bull?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful things. The person filed the case telling that Red Bull states Red Bull gives you wings.
Wings. Okay.
I did not get the wing. He earned crazy amount of money, and that's when they changed wings, W-I-N-G-S. That's what they had it to wings.
Because what is wings? No one
and
knows.
I was like, why did I not think of this?
See, okay, but I'll tell you, I would probably do the latter. The YouTube one sounds like a fun thing to do because, I mean, sorry, Red Bull thing sounds like a fun thing to do because
it didn't give me wings.
It's not offensive in any way. It didn't give me wings, so I probably can, you know, see if I can make some money out of it.
It's the same thing here also.
But here you're just like, you know, sexualizing anything.
Anything.
Yeah, I mean, at what level? And then there's that couple of these videos that talk about all these other apps that have these logos.
Oh,
dude, they're like, Baiju's. Don't tell me Baiju's B is just a B. It's basically a top-down shot of someone's boobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
Yeah, but it's crazy. It's crazy. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, how... You just have to get on board with the hate. Mm-hmm. Because hate's probably going to be there if you're doing something good the way I see it.
True. I've realized that.
With any growth, right?
At the end of the day, I'm reaching the audience that I have to reach. I'm pretty sure that even now when I spoke to those two boys who is writing down there, they were like, we were just asked to do this. We don't even know what it is or what it is of. And we don't hate you personally. It's like these people don't do that. They're just either vacant, they don't have anything else to do, or they're doing it because their friend is a part of it. This is another thing that I don't like about it, okay? I've always tried making friends who've let me know where I'm going wrong and who've told me to make decisions in a way that it's right for me or help me in my growth. But there are people who'll do anything because they are your friend. It might be the baddest of or the wrong thing that they'll do, but they'll still support them in the name of friendship. This is what that I saw today also. It's like, you know, it's because he's my friend and he asked us to go and mass comment on your post. We were doing this and he sent me some screenshot of another guy's post that they shared on the WhatsApp. Like, this is the guy who's doing a TikTok, go and spread hate. And they started sending him DMs directly saying that you're a chakka or you're that, this and all of it. Oh my God, I so hope that they stop using that word as a derogatory slang. I'm so done. And all of it. And that's when I realized that they don't have anything to do. They're all 19, 20-year-old boys still figuring out life. Nothing has thrown at them at the moment. They have their shit figured out. Their parents are taking care of them. They're entitled to it. They're privileged to it at the end of the day. Right. They don't understand this now, but they are doing it for the sake of it. Like, the YouTube is a platform for everything. So I remember him going like, she has a YouTube channel and she uploads it after 4 months. Like, you know, obviously not like Instagram. How do you think, or how do you assume that Instagram doesn't need work and your content requires work and the other person's content does not? And right. It was Komal Pandey. I'm not sure if you know her.
Yeah.
She had even made up a video of showing skin. She was like, normalize showing skin. I'm like, why do you not understand that showing skin is one's own choice? It does not make a person a slut or a whore. Why is it not, you understand? Then he was like, she's used the song WAP. WAP is the first song which has been appreciated and wherein women have been proud of their sexuality and they're sexualizing themselves instead of a stupid man after a
another
breakup.
Another guy sexualizing
A breakup or a rapper coming up with something, or your Honey Singh itself with Volume 1. Okay? You don't talk about that, but you'll talk about everything that is when it comes to... I felt really disgusted to a point like this is extreme, and I felt bad when he come. You yourself know that it's genetics, it's hereditary, something that you cannot have a control over, okay? Right. And this is the reason people end up getting surgeries, because people like you disgust them to an extent that they feel that they cannot be accepted in the society for the features that they have.
Right, so true.
So yeah, that was part one of a conversation. Part two will be out same time next week and is filled with relatable insights and experiences. So stick around for that. If you did like the episode, then consider smashing that like button and showing the YouTube algorithm what's up. And while you're down there, consider subscribing too, because you know, you're anyway going down there. And that's what she said. Okay, I had to say that. There's no way I could have let that one pass. If you're listening to this over audio though, then consider sharing this episode with your family and friends. Instagram and WhatsApp are easy ways to get the word out there, and I'm certain that others will find the episodes beneficial and motivating. That's pretty much it. I'll see you guys in part two of the conversation. And as my friend Rida would say, sayonara. This is Akash Damodaran signing off.